Good morning, church. I love the stirring of God's people. Good to have you here with us this morning. I was thinking, the Israelites had come out of bondage in Egypt. They'd spent 40 years in the desert, and they're getting ready to come into this promised land that God had promised them, but there was so much unknown, they didn't know what awaited them there. And Moses had passed the torch to Joshua, and in the first 9 verses of Joshua 1, 3 different times in 9 verses, Jesus says this: be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. You know, whatever we have in our lives, we don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know that Jesus walks with us. He goes into the promised land with us. Whatever, and they faced giants, but they were no match for the Lord. So we come today, this morning, that's the God that loves us. Isn't that amazing? That God that casts the stars in the sky loves us. Isn't that amazing? So we come to worship Him. Are you ready to worship Him? Let's invite His Spirit. We want to also welcome our live stream worshipers. Let's pray. Father, You are so big and so good, and we are humbled that You are mindful of us. Your Word says for us, no matter what tomorrow brings, to be strong and courageous, that You walk with us. If we don't stray to the right or to the left, but we keep on Your path, we will prosper. We love You. We praise You. We invite Your Holy Spirit in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll rise if you're able. Let's worship.
So we're going to start with a new one, and I hope it's all right, but we're going to, this might be a upbeat song, and we're excited to play it, but we should have a lot of fun with this. So join with us, and we'll get going. children, it is Communion Sunday, so if you will meet Miss Teresa and Miss Carlene that way, you will go ahead and go.
Last call. Anybody else? Well, good morning. Good to see you this morning. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service through our app. If you're in the building, if you're worshiping with us online, God bless you. I encourage you to do the same. Several things coming up real quickly. Ash Wednesday is this coming Wednesday. Our service is from 7 to 7:30. We'll have our basic Wednesday night schedule, with the exception of our ministry times being cut short by 5 or 10 minutes, so that starts at 7. Our men's breakfast is this coming Saturday morning at 7:30 here at Wiley Methodist. I encourage you men to come enjoy a good meal, some good fellowship time, and a good word from the Lord. And next Saturday evening, Sunday morning, is time change. And I'm praying for Jesus to come back sometime this week. So I personally, I'm selfish. I don't want to have to walk through that again. So I'm thinking, come Jesus, quickly come. But that's next week. So if you forget to set your clocks up an hour, you will be an hour late to worship service. I was thinking about the will of the Lord. Is anybody know what God's will is for your life? I mean, his perfect will, anybody? I think all of us are kind of stumped by that on occasion. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 may help us a little bit with that. Maybe this is a good place to start when we're confused. Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So I guess if we're stuck sometime, that's a good thing to focus on, rejoicing, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks. So this morning, I want to give thanks to the Lord for the things that he has done for us. And I'm going to ask Jack Lambert if he'll come up and share a really quick testimony, something that we can thank the Lord for. You did know you were going to do this, right? Okay, all right.
Yeah, Billy hit me at the door. You want to give a testimony this morning? So probably best that he hit me at the door and not later, earlier in the week, but I know I'm among friends in the body of Christ here. So anyway, a few weeks ago, first let me just say that sometimes it's kind of hard to speak of your own. I love to hear testimonies, but it's kind of hard to speak about yourself. But I think it's in Luke chapter 1 says, come and see what the Lord has done. And another thing in my old age, for some reason, I've gotten to be where I'm a little more emotional about things. And as a matter of fact, I cried at the grand opening of the Buffalo Gap Dollar General. Anyway, so we'll get through it though, right? But a few weeks ago, I was going to, if you don't know, I play bass in the band on occasion. And that morning when I woke up, my ears were just stopped up. I'd never really experienced that before. But I knew from the moment I woke up that something wasn't quite right. It was like having earplugs in my ears. So it's a little late to change what we're doing that morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. But next week it'll be 5 o'clock in the morning, by the way, when we come up here. But anyway, we go through our rehearsal and we do the first set, and wow, it's just like, I don't even know what I'm playing up here. I hope it wasn't too awful. But it just so happened that morning that Billy, during our prayer time, opened it up. Does anybody need prayer? Stand up. You're in a safe place. And so it's like, and I hate that I thought about it this way, but what have I got to lose? When I should be thinking I have everything to gain. So anyway, I stood up. And he always says it's safe. You know, this is a safe place. And so immediately I was surrounded. People laid hands on my ears and prayed from the heart. And it wasn't immediate, but as we went through that service, it got a little better. By the second service, it was getting usable. Within a couple of days, it was back to my normal. And I fully believe that that prayer, those hands on my ears, did that. So thankful, so thankful. Because it was kind of a scary situation. It's like, what if this is the new normal for me? You know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. So anyway, thank you, Billy, for the opportunities that you give us to do that. I'm a believer. So anyway, yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you to this congregation. Thank you to the ones that came up that morning and laid the hands on. I know who you are, so thanks be to God. Amen.
Yes, let's thank the Lord. Can we do that? Amen. So let's thank Him for other things. If there's something on your heart you want to express thanks to Him, just try your best to keep it to a short phrase. And let's just thank Him for His goodness. Anything, anybody. Good health. Amen. 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 If you didn't hear that, we've been praying for restoration for Grace and Janelle, their relationship, her daughter, and God's did something in the last week about that. So thank the Lord for that. Anything else? 39 years of marriage. Oh, that's awesome. Good testimony. To Victor Bruns, the Victor Bruns. Congratulations, guys. Yes, ma'am, Rexy. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. A couple more thank yous real quickly. 25 years marriage. Awesome. Thank you, Lord, for marriage. 62 years. This isn't a contest, Ed. I'm just saying it's not a contest. But that's awesome. That's awesome that you guys have stuck that out. Colton. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. A couple more things real quick.
Honey, our chickens are
laying eggs. Yeah. She shared that in the early service. But I told her she better hide those eggs because I know where they live, and I'm gonna. HEB is really expensive, by the way. One more thing. Anybody? Warm weather. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the change of seasons. All right, let's go to the Lord and just with a heart of thankfulness with an attitude of gratefulness. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are good and that your love endures forever. And Lord, I'm thinking about a young man that I had a conversation with this week that's incarcerated and was telling me all of his woes, and I said, there's got to be something good. There's got to be something good in the midst of that. And so, Lord, you give us breath in our lungs. Father, you give us shelter, a warm and a cool place to live and food on our table. And you're just, you're just so good. If you're concerned about the birds of the air, surely you're going to take care of your children. So, Lord, we just thank you for the bounty that you richly pour out on us. Lord, I pray for those maybe this morning that are struggling to find something to be grateful for, something to be thankful for. I pray for a radical shift in them. Holy Spirit, would you just come and I just pray for a spirit of rejoicing to break out in that heart this morning. Oh, you're so incredibly good, so incredibly faithful. And we thank you for this time. As we continue to worship you, just free us up to do that unhindered. Lord, I pray against the distractions of this world, the distractions of the evil one. Father, whatever would keep us from connecting deeply with you this morning, and whatever would keep us from receiving the word that you have for us this morning, I pray against those things. I pray for freedom to rule and reign in this room. And we thank you for who you are. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you of our giving options. We have offering boxes by the doors, and we had somebody last week that had a hard time finding that. And so does everybody know where the offering boxes are? They're by the doors. They're smaller boxes. They're about 10 by 10. They're mounted to some shelving with a label above it. Also, I'm not trying to solicit an offering from you, but if you have a prayer request, you can drop that prayer request in there. We'd love to pray with you. Also, a reminder, there'll be people available for prayer after the service. Let's continue to worship.
So I run to the Father again and again.
Whatever's going on in your life, church, turn your eyes upon Jesus. He will be there. He'll walk through those things with us. Glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. If you're our guest, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of His people. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. We love guests. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you after the service, be at this end of the foyer and have a free gift for our guests. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to kind of set the stage for Ephesians, the entire letter. Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus, and really, if you read the whole letter of Ephesians, that God is through Christ and through Paul, he's trying to convey to the church how to conduct themselves, how to live right, how to be the church. And we pick it up in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit, big S, Holy Spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray, Paul says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, it's the very foundation of the church, by the way, being rooted and established in love, I pray that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So that is the foundation, love. Now, verse 20, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we turn our eyes upon You. Send Your Holy Spirit, and Your Holy Spirit's invited here. We anticipate what You will speak to our hearts. Would You speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So, a rather old movie that I want to play, just it's like a minute clip here, just to set the stage. You might recognize this. Movie. Go ahead, Lee. Recognize that movie? Field of Dreams. So I don't want to spoil what happens, that because some of you that have been waiting to see that, it's only 35 years old, so I don't want to spoil the ending to anybody. But he hears this voice telling him to build this baseball field out in his corn patch. And he builds it, and some people come, okay? I don't want to spoil it for any of you that are still waiting to catch it on video release. So I was thinking about that line, if you build it, they will come. Today's message is, if he builds it, they will come. If he builds it, they will come. Psalm 127, I love this psalm. Verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. So you've probably noticed that we are in a capital fund drive, that we are trying to build, add on and build onto our building. We've outgrown our current building, mostly classroom space. We're looking at adding a new sanctuary, which will convert this to classrooms, which will meet that need. And I preached a sermon kind of launching that capital fund drive January the 12th. About a month later, I had someone in the church ask me that they had been asked, when are we starting the capital fund drive? And we were a month in, and many people had already contributed to it. And I was like, what? It's in my email every week. I just didn't really understand. So I thought, you know, the way the Israelites proclaimed something that was happening, a king coming or some event, some major event in their lives, they had a shofar. So I got a mini shofar. I've been practicing, but I'm still really, really bad, okay? So we're going to give it a try. Are you ready? Let's see what happens here. You got to perch your lips just right, and there's get snot and, you know, all kinds of stuff in there. Anyway, we'll give it a try here. That's a week's worth of practice. Now, I realize that that's probably not as good, so I thought, well, I'd probably need a Wiley Methodist version of the shofar. So, here we go. Are you ready? Here we go. See there? See? It works so much better. I said in the early services that was one of the stupidest things I've ever done. And I was corrected by Mr. Butler in the sound booth. He said, no, you've done a lot more stupid things than that. So, thank you, Lee. Okay. The Capital Fund Drive has begun, okay? It has launched. Many of you have already contributed to that. We're almost up to $750,000. We started with about $500,000 or $600,000 that we already had set aside. So, but we're doing well. I just feel like that we need to talk about that. I've said that raising money's not my gift, but if the Lord builds a house, great things happen. Great things happen. We're going to talk a little bit about that. If He builds it, they will come. So why are we adding to our building? Why this passage today may not seem like it fits there, but Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, and he's basically laying the groundwork. This is what it means to be the church. This is what it means to be a Christian, and this is the very foundation of that. And the very first thing I want us to hit is we are building to share God's love. We're building to share God's love. Did you know that I said this a few years ago when we lost my brother, the pain that me and my family were feeling in that moment, the Lord conveyed to my heart the hurt, the brokenness you're feeling right now. There's people all around you hurting. They're everywhere. We have the answer. His name is Jesus. We are building to share God's love. I pray that you, Paul is saying, I pray that you being rooted and established in love. He's saying to the church that you're rooted and established in love. That's your foundation. I pray that you would have power to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. We have what the world needs. Not just Wiley Methodist, but the church. We have what the world needs. His name is Jesus. Man, I can't say that often enough. And I get people start saying, I don't mean this to be offensive. You can read it. But even the Pope said all religions are basically the same. He said that about, I don't know, a month or so ago. I'm like, what? What? No, we have Jesus. God reached down to us in the person of Jesus. We don't have to reach. All these other religions are trying to reach up to God by doing the things and being good and all this. No, but God reached down to us in Jesus. There's no other name by which men may be saved. Jesus. We have to share God's love. That's why we're building. And I have permission from my brother, Larry Young, retired pastor, one of our many retired pastors in our church. Larry was praying into this building a couple of months ago, I guess, or so, Larry, and was asking the Lord, why build? Why are we doing this? What's the reason behind it? And I paraphrase, but basically what Larry said the Lord conveyed to him was, the Lord is bringing a harvest of souls, and they need a place to sit. You know, I've said it before, but this isn't about a look at what we've done. Look at what Wiley Methodist has done. People need Jesus. And I know there's lots of good churches in our city, but I know this, when people come here, they're going to hear the word of God, and they're going to be loved on by God's people. And that doesn't always happen. That doesn't always happen. We are building because we have the foundation that God loves us. We're building to share God's love. Secondly, we're building because we trust God to exceed our wildest dreams. God is trustworthy. I've preached on it several times, but I think last week I talked about Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because we trust God to exceed our wildest dreams. To this passage today in verse 20, to him, it's like you're established in love. And then to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, God will meet our needs, especially when we're aligned with him, when we're seeking to bring him glory, when we're seeking, man, why in the world, if we as a church, if we're seeking to bring God glory and we're seeking to help draw people to this Jesus that says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Man, I'm telling you, this world and this city is full of people weary and burdened. And if our intention is to draw people in so that we can put them in the lap of Jesus, he will exceed. Why would God not answer that prayer? Why would God not answer that prayer? He's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. You've heard my testimony probably several times, and as I was transitioning from the computer world to the ministry, there was about a year and a half there that was it was really scary, unknown, dark. I mean, it was pretty rough year and a half. And in the midst of that, Cheryl and I had no church. I had no job, and Cheryl was going to the Lord and just, you know, crying out to the Lord, and he conveyed to her heart, write down the desires of your heart, write them down. And she wrote down 13, she still has the paper today, she wrote down 13 things that the Lord told her, write down the desires of your heart. And she titled it, The Desires of My Heart. And she dated it. I'm going to get back to that date in just a minute. And I've got her permission to share 5 of those. There's some of them that are pretty personal and nobody's business but hers. But these 5, I have her permission to share with you. The first was the desires of her heart. for Cheryl and I, for our family to have close spiritual friends. And we had friends, but we didn't have close spiritual friends that would walk with us. We had a great family, but we needed close spiritual friends. Second one of her desires was a church to serve in that feels like home. We needed a place to belong that felt like home, like family. We needed that. Cheryl needed that. It was a desire of her heart. The third one was a strong spiritual youth group for Kirby and Jordan. They were 12 and 14 when we got here. And they will tell you that they got that at Wiley Methodist. Now, I shared this in the early service. Also, the rest of that story is when the girls kind of went to college and became young adults, you know, Cheryl and I set them down and said, hey, look, we know that y'all may want to spread your wings, I especially wanted them to know, as their daddy and pastor, it won't hurt my feelings if you go to another church. I won't take that personally. I know that you might need to do that. And I remember both of them very clearly said to me, Daddy, we love our church. We're not going anywhere. We love it. And to this day, 20-something years later, they're still here, and I get to be with them, and I put up with my son-in-laws. No, I love my son-in-laws and my grandkids. But that was one of the desires of Cheryl's heart, a great spiritual youth group for Kirby and Jordan. The fourth one that she has given me the permission to share is a marriage that grows more beautiful every year. And I asked her permission. I asked her, did that one, did God fulfill that one? And just wanted to make sure. I love that lady more than I ever have today. And yes, our marriage has grown more beautiful every year. And then the fifth one that I want to share with you that was on her list is the heart of a wife. She said contentment for Jeff. And I don't know about you, I don't know about you being content with me, but I'm content as your pastor. I love being your pastor. I love what I do. I love this church. This passage, to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, this all 13 items on Cheryl's desires of her heart list, all 13 of those God has fulfilled and or exceeded. Every one of them. Every one of them. That date that she wrote that list was, she dated it February the 12th, 2001. So some 24 years later, God has fulfilled all of those things. And 4 months after she wrote that list, I became employed at Wiley Methodist Church. God began, he began to meet these desires of her heart and mine as well. Our building project, just in the last week, we formed a prayer team that's praying specifically into this project of growing and adding on to our church. There's 17 that have said they want to be a part of that, and you can still jump in there if you feel led to do that. And we've decided as a group, we met last week, and we decided as a group that each week we would have a prayer focus for the week. And got the email Friday. No one besides me knew I was preaching on this passage. I got the email Friday from our group, our prayer team, and guess what the prayer focus is this week? To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Jack, yes? He even unclogged stopped up ears. He's still in the healing business. We are building because we want to share the love of Christ and we trust God to do it. And then finally, we are building that the church may bring glory to Jesus Christ. verse 21, to him be glory in the church, not in Wiley Methodist, in the church, his church. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We don't want to build, I said this back on January the 12th, we're not building to show off and to show, look what we did. We got this new sanctuary and all these things. Not to bring glory to ourselves, but rather to God. To bring glory to God. I said this as we started this effort. I've admitted this to every committee that as we've gone through this, this isn't my thing. It's not my gift to raise money. But my prayer has been for God to show off. For God to show off, because then God will get the glory. But the very foundation of who we are is the love of God that we entrust to God for us to. I mean, what I tell our staff this from time to time, what a privilege to be entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a privilege. I mean, God has put his plan in our hands to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And as the Lord spoke to Larry's heart, he's bringing a harvest of souls, and they need a place to sit. You know, as we talk about the Lord being able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, I think about this meal. I was thinking about it as we were worshiping leading up. I had not thought about this in the early service, but as we were leading up to worship, leading up to this moment, did you know, talking about that the Lord can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, there isn't a sin that this doesn't cover. Whatever you got in your life, whatever, maybe something you drug in here with you. Maybe it's something you've done. Maybe it's something been done to you. The brokenness of that. Man, this, and I've said this before as well, this is a costly meal. It cost our Savior his life. And his motive, his only motive was he loves us. He's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And that doesn't just pertain to new buildings. That pertains in here. On the night that Jesus, sitting around the circle with these 12 friends, did you know he washed Judas's feet? That astounds me as well. He knew, and then he told Judas what he's going to do. And he's sitting around with these men who will deny him, desert him, and betray him. And he takes the bread and he breaks it. And you know he was thinking about the cross, what he was going to do. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Because I love you. And then he took the cup and he was well aware of the brutality of the cross, what awaited him. And he blessed the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant established in my blood, and it's poured out for you and for many. And then he said to do this, and when we do it, to remember him, remember the sacrifice that he has given us. So if you'll just bow your heads and in your own heart, pray a prayer of confession before our loving and holy God. Jesus, we thank you for taking those nails for us. We pray that this bread and this cup will be the body and blood of Jesus for us. We remember what this meal means, and we give you thanks for it. Church, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. If those who are serving will come forward to receive. Christ our Lord invites you to his table. It's not my table. It's not our church's table. It's the Lord's table. If you've confessed your sins before Jesus and you've called him your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to this table. You do not have to receive, but we welcome you to receive. There's two stations over on this side and two stations on this side. You'll be given a piece of bread, dip it into the cup. Partake in that manner. If you'd rather receive the individual elements, you can come to the center. Go ahead and receive your elements and return to your seat and partake of the bread first and finish that up. Then you can discard your empty as you leave the room. Jesus loves you. Come.
Here. never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
I pray that you would grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ for you, and that you would realize and trust that He's able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine.
Amen.
That's good news, church. News to share. Go and tell someone. We are participating.
If you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.